Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
What's up, movie lovers? It's your girl Rossi, and I'm back with another show. I have my crew with me. We're doing some gaming news tonight, so I hope you guys enjoy the show. We have a few topics that we're going to discuss, so let's get started. What's up, guys?
What's up?
So I have a Jedi Master Don Tucker with me. I have Frito, Jason, aka Frito. Trust will be here soon. And guys, I thought that there are so many things going on in gaming, and I wanted to discuss that. So the first, and let's say hi to JoJo, who always is here. What's up, Joanne?
What up, JoJo?
Hello.
So, you know, okay, so the first topic that I wanted for us to hit on is the layoffs and the AI at the game developers meetup this year. So I'll start off. So the gaming industry saw more than 10,000 workers laid off in 2023, up from 8,500 in 2022. According to the Game Industry Layoffs Project, which tracks game developer and publisher job losses globally, layoffs have hit studios ranging in size from tiny independent game publishers to titans of the industries like Fortnite maker Epic Games, which actually laid off 830 employees in September. Microsoft laid off 1,900 and at Activision, Blizzard, and Xbox, and that happened in January. And Sony, which announced in February, it was laying off 900 people globally across its studios. So the trend is only accelerating with 2,000 game industry professionals losing their jobs in February, a 5-time increase year over year, according to the layoff tracker. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, it's tough to one, be a game developing company, hear this news and be wanting to continue to pump out the great content, even though it seems that it's on a steady decline, as well as like, it's so hard to now get new people involved in the development of games and stuff with something like that. Cause who wants to join a career path that seems like it might be failing?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Don, we were talking about that. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know if it's failing. I mean, all these companies record their profits every year, so they have the money. They just don't want to pay the people. Once the game,
well, but it seems that it's going more AI, right? That's the whole.
Yeah,
thing.
And that was another thing, because it says here that the concerns were reflected at the conference, which most AI focused panels at the GDC reaching capacity as developers, investors, and other industry experts waited in line so that they can talk about this topic. And Don, we were talking about the whole AI situation, and tell Jason what your thoughts were on the whole AI.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't mind AI being a part of gaming. I think it will make graphics better overall. I think it will make making games a lot easier. And they can run with more of a skeleton, quote unquote, crew, you know, if they need to. But the problem with it is, again, when we live in a world where you need money to live, it's kind of hard to do this to people.
I was going to say, this is like, yeah, it's hard to, there's no more, it seems like there's very little, when I say it's hard like for these companies to thrive, it's like there's no job security anymore with it.
Yeah.
It seems that there is, you know, this overwhelming advancement in AI capabilities and also funding that these companies are putting into it. So it's hard for these new up and coming game developers to try and be like, well, I'm going to give my ideas. Well, I'm just going to pay a software for us to make 10 ideas in 2 seconds.
Right. I get the using the AI to get the game done faster. Mm-hmm. I know John and I were basically saying like, but it when it comes to where they're not getting credit for right. making the game, you know, just a second. Don, go ahead. Eli's having some
issues. Yeah, no, and I think that's what it's going to boil down to is who's getting the credit for this, because if they're literally just letting an AI system just do everything, then who do you give the credit to? Then the companies take the credit, and whether the game's good or not, doesn't really matter. I mean, look at like EA, companies like that. We've got basically Madden 12 every year since Madden 12. We really have. Yeah,
hey, how dare you?
The graphics are a little bit better every year. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. But overall, it's the same stupid game with the same stupid flaws every year. I literally was playing Madden 24 the other night, and I watched my quarterback get sacked, throw the ball as he's getting sacked. The ball was in his elbow. The ball was being thrown from his elbow somehow. And it's like, listen, you're the only Madden game. You're the only football game out there. And this is the quality of graphics I'm getting from you when I can go play Call of Duty, which it's not the greatest game in the world, but at least the graphics are great. So it's like, I don't know. It's hard when I guess my biggest thing is, like I said, it's about who gets the credit for it. If these companies are just taking credit for it, then it's going to be hard to be a gamer in the next 10 years.
Right.
Well, I don't think the problem is I don't think the gamers are the ones that are going to be affected by it, because the gamers are going to get so fine. All right. You didn't like that game. We'll pump out another one. Okay, you didn't like that one? Guess what? There's another free one coming out as long as you pay for our subscription, just like Game Pass does, just like all these game companies are starting to do. You pay for our subscription, we'll give you all the free games that we make. And guess what? We'll pump out free game after free game after free game after free game that has... Yeah,
that's kind of the point right there. If you get Ubisoft Plus, you can get all the Assassin's Creed, $60 a piece. You can get any brand new Ubisoft game that comes out, Avatar, all that stuff, for paying a $5.99 a month thing. So you're telling me that these games are really worth $60 every time I get them then, when they can just give them away to free to anybody that pays $5.99 a month? So they don't need to lay people off. They have the money, obviously. The money is there. They're just laying.
But that's the thing. It's going to be – these companies are going to see it as just more –
profit, greed.
Yeah, but and that's why the layoffs will happen. Yes, obviously they can afford to still pay these people, but again, these companies are going to be like, well, why am I going to pay 10 people to work on the development of the way this person can move their elbow when they throw the ball, when I can just have an AI company just take care of it all?
And I don't disagree with that. But my point is this, when people are expecting to have a job and you're just laying them off because you just want to put more money in your pocket, I don't think you should be rewarded for that. And I don't think we as the gamers should reward the company for doing that. I think we should definitely say, we're not playing your games.
For sure. And I agree. But I think that the mass populace is not going to be on that side. The average gamer is just an everyday Joe Blow who works his hours, goes home, plays his game. He's not going to care about the politics and that shit in the gaming community, because, I mean, the average gamer just doesn't care about the complexities of the gaming industry.
Right.
We are not average gamers, yeah, obviously.
But I think people that game like we do, there's a lot more of us than just average gamers, I would say.
Yeah, I would hope so. I get where you're coming from, Jason. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, yeah. I mean, we're not caring about that. You know, just make the best game, put the game out, and you know, whatever happens, you guys deal with it. I do want to state that Hawkins, the GDC organizer, stated that the conference's research showed that more independent developers than larger studios were using the AI tools, in part because it allows them to accomplish more with fewer resources. You know,
I don't mind that, you know, company and you can't afford to hire people, then that
like
makes
Pow
sense.
World. Like Pow World is a perfect example of what AI can work for with a smaller company's game. You know, they had an idea, and yes, it got a lot of heat. Yes, it got a lot of shit. Hey, Travis.
Yeah, that's good. John sent me to his show.
Sorry, the link was broken, dude. So sorry.
No, that's all good. I was sitting there. I was like, man, what's going on?
Sorry, man. Sorry, StreamYards is messing up. Sorry. Go ahead and finish up what you were saying. Sorry for
that. I lost my train of thought. No, you're good. what was the last thing I said?
We were talking about the fact that the CDC organizer stated that the smaller developers
AI. Pal World was a perfect example, like I was saying, of what AI can do for a smaller company. And when it's used like that, it's exactly what the capabilities are for a team that can't do what these bigger teams can. But these bigger companies, my fear is going to be that these bigger companies are going to use this to make layoffs and cut away these people that are hardworking industry people.
Right, right. Eli, we're discussing the first topic. We're just discussing the layoffs and the AI situation in gaming and the layoffs that all the companies have done. So just to recap with you, I went over the fact that look, what do we have? In 2023, there was 10,000 layoffs. And that was just the gaming industry, 8,500 in 2022. And also Epic Games, they laid off 830 employees in September. Microsoft cut 1,900, and that's globally. Sony globally cut off 900, laid off 900 people. And so we were discussing that, and we were also discussing the use of AI. Do we think that it's good in gaming? Are we okay with that?
It's definitely not good in gaming, in my opinion. I mean, there are certain circumstances where it is good, but at the same time, for me, you're taking away, like what Frito said, you're taking away jobs of hardworking people. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the industry. It doesn't matter how many accolades you have. AI is going to be better than that. It's cheaper. So it's just the thing I do like AI for is like preserving voices. Like, let's say like a notable character I can think of is like Captain Price or Master Chief. Like, they nailed that voice, and AI could preserve that voice and use it for other generations to enjoy the same actor rather than using a different voice actor. But at the same time, it takes away the job of someone else maybe taking the shoes of doing Master Chief, because like with Batman, I mean, you have other actors who've done it and have nailed it, same with Joker and everything. So I don't know. I'm really mixed on it. I'm kind of on the fence. There are certain things I think it's good for, but I think in the long term, we use it in this, it gets used in other aspects of life. I think that we're really going very far with how we're using AI, and I think that it's not a good thing.
Well, and that leads us to the next topic, which is the actors union, SAG.
Yeah.
Some of the voice actors are having issues because, and I'll just read what happened. So there's a deal that SAG made with Replica AI, and the deal is that they would then license voices used in video games. So you can replicate those voices by using AI, and therefore you don't have to. You know, you can still use like Robert De Niro's voice or whatever. But the problem with that is that it's taking jobs away from voice actors who are still in the union. But when you license a voice like that, getting into acting, you're doing that because you're enjoying acting. You want to be involved and get some of those, you know, high profile gaming jobs. But when you're replicating certain voices, you've just ousted,
you know,
a lot of actors from, you know, doing their job.
It's the same point, you know, earlier, where it's just like, it's so hard now to, you know, say you grew up like we all have playing, you know, Halo, and you hear Arbiter's voice and you're just like, that's what I want to do. Right. And like, you know, you work your entire life to get up to this point, and like now all of a sudden, well, no, Arbiter's voice is going to stay the same forever, and you will never have a chance to recreate that in your own way or give it your own spin. And, you know, you'll never be able to advance the legacy in a new way. And like, that's pretty shitty.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Because I mean, you think about it, like, I mean, I'll say a notable one, like Call of Duty, like it's not the same Captain Price that did it back in 2007. And the new Captain Price, the dude fucking nailed it. He did a great job. And they didn't need the old Captain Price voice to do that. Like, he did a really good job, and they would have never had that opportunity had AI been in there. So, yeah, I think that like what Frio, to kind of go off what he said, I think that, yeah, you're just taking away jobs of people who worked so hard to get to a position, and that position is not even going to be available because of AI.
And I'll read a little bit. So the deal, per a statement by SAG-AFTRA, will enable Replica, which is the company that uses that AI company, to engage SAG members under a fair ethical agreement to safely create and license a digital replica of their voice. Licensed voices can be used in video game development and other interactive media projects from pre-production to final release. It apparently includes minimum terms and conditions, as well as requirements for a performer consent and the ability to opt out of ongoing use of the digital voice. But you have others that are upset because a deal apparently was made without communication to union members at large, and with many voices after stating that they felt that they have no voice in the final decision and are not aware of the deal's terms. You know, while the press release states that the deal was approved by affected members of the union's voiceover performer community. Many say that they're blindsided about it. And then that's why you have those actors that are upset, because you just took them out of the game. Like they won't be able to compete, and that's a problem. So I absolutely agree. Don, you have anything to say about that? I mean, I know you're for the actors.
Yeah, no, of course. No, if they're losing jobs because of this, yeah, it's not right. I don't agree with that at all.
Right.
You have anything, I guess, look, I'm not going to lie. It would be freaking awesome to see, I don't know, John Wayne, Tupac. I don't know who anybody
in the movie
at some point. Right. It would be amazing. Like, I would lose my mind if Tupac showed up in the next whatever
movie. Right, right.
You know what I mean? I would love it. But if somebody's losing their job for that part, no, I don't agree with that.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't agree with that. And if it affects the video gaming the same way, and I can absolutely see that, because voice actors are usually voice actors. There's a lot of actors that do both, but usually voice actors are just voice. That's all they do. Usually.
Right.
So, yeah, if they're losing jobs to Robert De Niro, no, I don't want that. I don't want Robert De Niro as the next Captain Price over Joe Smith.
Yeah, right.
If he's good at it, let him be good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need Robert De Niro to do the voice. Like, I just don't. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. I think that's stupid.
And my whole thing is also, it comes to the fact, like, okay, while Robert De Niro, they're using his voice while he's alive and stuff like that, or who's getting the money when this person goes? Right. Who's getting the money after this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, okay, we'll make a deal with your family, but it dwindles down. And at the end of the day, like, what happens when no one else is alive and now they're still using this person's voice now no one else is profiting but these companies?
And the deal's been made. Like, it's happening. Like, the deal's made. And it's happening.
That's extremely disgusting. Yeah. That's extremely disgusting. And it's like, you would think that after a huge strike that they just went on, you know, that the executives or the people at the head of this wouldn't be making extremely rash decisions.
Yeah.
Like, because this doesn't seem like it was thought out much.
And it also says that, it says here that while the guild is lauding the deal as groundbreaking, a number of voice actors have taken to social media to express concern, anger, and confusion regarding the deal. As many point out, a number of SAG voice actors don't want companies to be able to make AI doubles of their voices at all, regardless of the terms.
Have you listened to the AI voices?
And it's happening.
Well, see, this goes even farther than that, because that is another layer of taking away their ability to do their job. Because now, if you don't agree to be AI generated in some way or not, you're not going to get a job at all.
Exactly.
At all for anything.
What if I don't agree with what they're making my voice say?
Right.
Right.
Like, what if it's making me say something that's completely against my character, where I, as an actor, would have not accepted those lines or accepted that role because I didn't appreciate those lines, or that's not what I would have said in that situation?
Didn't Bruce Willis make a deal with an AI company or something?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. His whole likeness, they're using it over in Japan or somewhere in commercials over there. So yeah, they are already doing. They've been doing that.
He did sell his likeness
to that company. Yes.
Which, if they can guarantee the family's going to get the money, I mean, maybe. But again, you're taking too many jobs away from other people, I think, or at least chances. Not even jobs, but just chances to get a job are taken away from so many people by doing that. Yeah.
Because it's like, and you can't even say like, oh, but what if he's just used on these commercials? And it's like, a lot of these actors, that's where they get their breaks. That's where they get their starts. You know, a few commercials, and then you work up to an extra on a sitcom or something. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's slow progressions through it, and it's like you're just taking away any kind of leg these people have to stand on, even getting into the industry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. I absolutely agree.
I think what scares me, too, is what if they want to do a reboot? Like, let's say they want to do a reboot of Die Hard, and they're like, you know what, but we're going to put Bruce Willis in it again. It's like, what? Like, what are we doing there? We have the greatest Die Hard show made already. Why are we rebooting it with the same guy 20 years ago?
I just feel like it would be so, and especially, like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like after, like, if, you know, whenever, knock on wood, Bruce Willis passes, it's going to be really weird to just be like, oh, he's in an Ozempic commercial? Like, this is...
Bruce Willis on a tandem bike.
I'm a bit uncomfortable.
You kill me. That's good.
I just want him in the white people from Die Hard and everything going forward. Now. Just put him in the Die Hard white people. Like, all the
bloody and stuff. I know, Joanne. Right, right. I know.
That was just too much.
But yeah, because like, what are you gonna? Let's say you reboot Star Wars in 20 years. You gonna put Mark Hamill in it again and you know, Carrie Fisher? It's like, just let people have jobs. Like, just let people
have. And also let people have legacies.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you're not like, because now again, like, oh, they're going to, what happens when they use Bruce Willis likeness for a shitty, horrible action movie that is terrible? And then now new generations think, oh, Bruce Willis was in that really horrible thing.
Yeah, right.
Like Sharknado or something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I love Sharknado. He's not winning the I've seen all of them. I'm waiting for
that. Or Anaconda. Anaconda, then.
Yeah.
No one likes Sharknado. Anaconda.
Oh, I love B-rated sci-fi made for movies. They're awesome. Another topic. Okay, so the lawsuit between Activision and Call of Duty. Yeah. What do you guys think?
The Seth Abner, Hector Rodriguez,
yes,
LLC versus Activision Blizzard Inc.
I'll read the headline. So, two professional esports players are demanding at least $680 million in aggravated monetary damages in a lawsuit against Microsoft's Activision Blizzard, alleging the game company holds an unlawful 100% monopoly over professional leagues and tournaments for first-person shooter Call of Duty. Activision Blizzard has used its unlawful monopoly power to prevent would-be competitors from entering the market, as well as to coerce the market's other participants, in particular professional Call of Duty players and team owners, to acquiesce to extortionate financial terms, the lawsuit said. So what do you guys think?
I'm not an online competitor,
so
obviously I know a lot about this story, and I will say there's 12 teams in the CDL, and each team had to pay $27.5 million to get a spot in the CDL.
It's an entire racket to play in these tournaments.
The thing is before CDL there was MLG, Major League Gaming. They were on TV, they were on X Games, they're on ESPN, like back with like Halo 2 and Halo 3 and all that shit. Like MLG, they were the thing, and like they handled Call of Duty and all of that. So 2017 comes around, they do CWL, and pretty much Activision, they absorbed MLG, took out their major competitor, so which means that only Activision could run like any Call of Duty competition. EGL's done, UMG's done. They are the only ones who could hold a team or can hold competitions now. And back when MLG was around, me and three other friends, we could buy a team pass. We could go to MLG Dallas or MLG Anaheim. We could play through pool play. You win through pool play, you play through loser's bracket. You win through loser's bracket, you get to semifinals, and then you get to grand finals. Like, there's so much untapped potential now, like Call of Duty talent, because there's 12 teams, there's 12 AR spots, and it's hard to be, like, you can't be an AR player and try to break into the league now. Like,
and all these sub,
you have to fry, and there's only so many teams. If you did not buy into the Call of Duty League, you couldn't compete in Call of Duty then. Like, they made it to where you were coerced to pay $27.5 million, or else you're not going to compete in Call of Duty at all.
What were you saying? No matter what.
Well, I was just saying that it's entirely, they've made it pay to win, but also it's just like, where was I going with? Oh, yes. So it's just like any other thing where it's like the NFL. If another sports football thing tried to pop up, the NFL would absolutely cripple them because they have no backing underneath them. You know, the Activision has cornered the market on all Call of Duty tournaments entirely. And there's not a single thing anyone can really do to try and pop up and like start their own, because anything that gets too big, they just end up absorbing them.
And wow. Here's the thing. NFL, they own National Football League, but they don't own football. So you could have NCAA, you could compete at all levels of football. Call of Duty, though, the thing is, Activision owns Call of Duty, which means that they own all rights to it, all facilities to it, everything. It's kind of like with Nintendo. They were running a Smash tournament. It wasn't Nintendo sponsored, and they had to cancel the tournament because Nintendo shut it down because it wasn't a Nintendo sponsored tournament. It's the same thing.
So do you guys think they have a chance to win in court?
100%.
They have a chance, but the thing is, it's like, just because you feel coerced to do something, it doesn't necessarily, I don't know if it's going to stand up in the court of law. I really don't. I think that they do have a really good point, though. I mean, if you look at everything, and like, it was years of progression. Like, it started in late 2016, and the whole CWL, and then like, they just like, it's been being molded into what they wanted it to be now, to where it's the buy-in is so crazy. And the thing is Hex owns Optic. He was a sole owner, but they made him partner with billionaire investors, pretty much people who were like connected with sports teams, because they didn't want him to just be sole owner. They wanted to have an investor there that they felt was a suitable owner for the team. And when you get a billionaire investor, you lose a huge portion of your business.
And Jason, you were saying.
damn it.
Sorry, Eli.
No, you're good. No, not at all. He's got good points over here. Come back to me in 2 seconds.
No problem.
I mean,
Wait, really quick. Oh. I'm sorry. Can I say this really quick?
Yeah.
I have to mention this. There's obviously, you know, the $27.5 million as an entry fee, but Activision also wanted teams to give them 50% share of revenue that teams generated from ticket sales, sponsorships, and any other revenue streams.
Wow, that's horrible. So, that is so
insane. That's disgusting.
It's basically what you say, Don. What you've been saying, they're ripping off people. They can afford to not lay them off. They can afford to do this,
and they're still taking. Go ahead, Eli. No, I'm sorry, but the prices are so high. That's why they have to get these investors, and it becomes a net negative, because you're losing so much to compete in the league where it's declining. I mean, dude, Call of Duty back in like 2015, 2016, it was on top of the world. It was on X Games. Like, dude, it was in such a great spot. And where we're at now, it's horrible, dude.
I think
it is horrible.
Go ahead, Jason.
I think the biggest thing that the reason, and this is what I was going to say earlier, I think the reason why they have a decent enough leg to stand on for this lawsuit is because the whole reason why they have multiple phone companies, why they have all these things, is monopolies are evil. Yeah. Like, they're absolutely fucking, they're terrible. You cannot have them. Yeah. Granted, now we probably have a bunch more than we realize we do.
Yeah, way more than we should, yeah.
I think if they present it right, they can make an example of this company. so that it shows this, you can't, and it's a small enough company where they could make an example of it where they won't have to go after these bigger ones just yet, but it'll right. break the seal because yes, Activision is a giant company and Call of Duty is a massive calling. But if we want to talk about monopolies, it's probably like a pin drop in a pool of, you know, what is out there. So I think that they, I truly think that they have a decent enough leg to stand on. And with the evidence that they have, you know, in the video that you showed us that they provided, it seems that they've at least done their research and, you know, put the effort in to present this properly.
Right. And I watched the Optic podcast, and Hex has talked a lot about it previously before this lawsuit even became a thing. He's talked about how Activision has been doing this whole competitive thing wrong and that they don't care about the competitive community. Like, they really don't care. Like,
right. they're making money.
Yeah, they're making money. They just want more exposure to the game. Like, that's all they care about. And the thing is that the viewership is going down. It's going down because there's only 12 teams. Back with MLG was there, dude, there was so many teams. It was awesome, dude. Like, they had Cool Play, A through D streams. Like, there were so many teams. Like, so it's just, it's sad where it's at now.
I'll end it with this. This is a statement from Activision Blizzard. A rep said that Mr. Rodriguez, a.k.a. Optic H3CZ, and Mr. Abner, a.k.a. Skunk, demanded that Activision pay them tens of millions of dollars to avoid this meritless litigation. And when their demands were not met, they filed the lawsuit. We will strongly defend against these claims, which have no basis in fact or in law. We are disappointed that these members of the esports community would bring this suit, which is disruptive to team owners, players, fans, and partners who have invested so much time and energy into the Call of Duty League success.
Hmm. I would just say, is this lawsuit being brought in America?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, yeah. Now that pisses me off.
They're going to lose? They have no chance.
Which
the fact that...
They have no
why, Don?
The fact that they brought it up like that, I think.
The same reason no company really faces anything like this in our country is... Once one does, then they have to do it to everyone.
And well, they broke the Sherman Act, like Section 2 of the Sherman Act.
Who did?
Activision Blizzard.
Oh, okay.
These companies break laws every day. These companies break laws every day.
If the politicians don't want them to be charged,
they're not going to get charged.
I think the one problem, this is the one problem why I think that they don't have a chance, is that Optic is the only CDL team that's suing them.
Not to mention, you don't think Activision is going to be giving that judge, feeding that judge millions of dollars until he says this goes away?
The issue is, like I said, the way that they went about it. Like, if they were just sitting on a merit and a moral standpoint and doing this for the sake of the gaming industry, they would have at least a definite moral high ground. But the fact that they went into it, first being like, hey, we're not going to do anything unless if you give us the money we want, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and everything's going to be fine. But they didn't give them the money. They didn't fold. And then they proceeded to do this. So that's going to be a huge downfall to their claim, which is, it sucks because I truly think they have a great claim to win.
I think you're 100% right. They absolutely have a great claim. The problem is, like you said, every judge in America is going to look at this as, well, you took the money and then you decided you didn't like.
Because it's like, what if they gave you the money? Would you have just been, you would have been fine with it then? You'd have continued just being a pawn to everything. So it's like, once you get that mixed into it,
it doesn't matter what they do to you after that. You've already signed your life away to that company. So if they screw you over, and again, I'm not saying they didn't break any laws. They more than likely broke, and I don't know the details of it like you do, obviously, Eli. I'm not saying they didn't break any laws.
No, I know.
I'm just saying that I don't think a judge in America will allow this to go through.
Eli had brought up the Sherman Act, and I wanted to let you guys all know what that is because I haven't heard of it. So this is what it is. The Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890 is a federal statute which prohibits activities that restrict interstate commerce and competition in a marketplace. It outlaws any contract, conspiracy, or combination of business interests in restraint of foreign or interstate trade. The Sherman Act is codified in 15 U.S.C.
I guess it's going to come down to the details. Like, were they aware of this before they signed the contract or not?
Right.
I mean, they were aware of what the entry fee was, but the thing is, if you don't pay the entry fee, you get frozen from the market, which means that you can't compete until.
But were they aware also of the 50% and all that stuff? Was that all in the contract that they signed?
Yeah,
more than likely.
Yeah, they had to. That's what I'm saying.
But the thing was, if you didn't sign the contract, just, you can't compete in Call of Duty. That's the thing. They felt coerced to sign it because. Yeah, it sucks, but if we don't sign this, I have a whole bunch of guys who can't compete. Now I'm making these guys not have a chance to compete.
This is definitely a topic. I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah, I know, but this is definitely an article that we're going to update, and we're going to pay attention to the outcome of this,
because I want to follow this story. So, guys, we will follow this story. All the links to the win.
That would be all. I would love for them to win.
Right.
For sure.
And just a second, guys. I want to let the audience know, just let you guys know, the links to the articles that we have been talking about that will be in the description of the video, so you guys can take a look at that yourselves. And also, we're definitely going to follow up on this lawsuit, what's going on, because I'm curious to know, you know, if they will win, if they won't win. So we'll keep you guys updated on that article. Anyways, guys, that's what we're going to discuss. I wanted to go over the Sony layoffs. We'll talk about that next time, because it's pretty much covering what we've already covered with all the layoffs that's happening. I do want to mention, though, really quick, as far as the Sony layoffs, guys, just to let you guys know that I was doing a little more reading, and the Sony studios in London will close entirely.
Yeah, that's going to close entirely.
Deductions in Fire Sprite Studio, and that there will be deductions in various functions across SIE in the UK. So the proposed changes mean that there that we will enter a period of collective consultation before any final decisions are taken. All employees who are part of the collective consultation will be made aware of the next steps. So just to let you guys know, so just a little bit more about the Sony layoffs and what's going on. Anyways, guys, that's the show. I hope you guys enjoyed us discussing articles, and there's so much going on in the gaming world. So we'll come back next time, and we're going to have more news for you. The Multiverse of Geekdom, what do you guys have coming up? And does anyone have anything else to say? Really quick, I will say
there has been, I think, 2,200 employees laid off since 2024 has started. And that is already up, I think, like 5% from last year.
Yeah, it's
pretty crazy. And there's a lot of notable companies out there that have had layoffs. I mean, Snapchat, BuzzFeed, I mean, you name it. Rooster Teeth is closing down completely. There's a whole bunch of layoffs going across, not just gaming, but all these major tech companies. So it's crazy. AI is really... Like I said, it's getting out of hand, and it's been getting out of hand for years now.
Right.
That's my final thing.
Thank you very much. I think you're right overall, man.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree that the AI thing, we definitely need to get that in control. I think that, where it's going, it's kind of scary where it's going. I love the plus side of it.
The problem is we don't have any thinkers, because things like this come along and then they just wait till it's inevitable that it's just going to happen tomorrow. And then they're like, oh, let's figure out how to regulate it.
I agree with you.
Figure it out now while it's being developed so we have things in place. You know,
I absolutely agree with you. And that's exactly how it goes down. We'll wait for something to happen, for something to go bad.
I feel like it's about to be iRobot.
Oh my God, we gotta get control of this. And it's been like that. Yeah. So I do agree with you, Don. Absolutely. What do you guys have coming up? Any upcoming shows?
Trailer reactions right now. We are working on a few things to come back with.
Yes, we have a few D&D related situations, some tabletop game discussions we're going to be working on, as well as get back into some streaming. I want to start doing a grind for Apex competitive games, as well as Overwatch competitive games.
Awesome.
Yeah, on a normal grind, I can get to platinum. I think if I can dedicate myself, I can get past diamond, hopefully.
Apex Pred is, that's a grind.
Yeah, Yes,
that's
it is.
A grind.
Yes, it is. But hopefully, I'm going to give myself a year. The next couple of seasons, keep going, and yeah.
Oh, you could easily get it within.
Trust. What's new with you? What's going on with you?
Man, a lot. Close to breaking 1,300 followers.
Awesome.
I've gotten a few more.
Like
subs.
700 last time, right?
Right, remember?
Like yeah. that. Something like yeah, that. But yeah, I'm at about 1,300 followers right now.
Awesome.
Been dabbling in with a few other games. Just going to be streaming, and I'm going to be streaming tomorrow, Friday, and just going to be streaming Trovo.
Congratulations. Yo, that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's
been awesome. It's been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The support over there has been crazy, and yeah, just excited to stream.
Keep it that's up. Awesome. Good shit.
Thank you, man.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what we have going on right now, guys.
I believe we're also going to be doing a Johnny Depp thing with you. Yeah. With
yeah,
John.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. We are.
Yeah, movie
we
lovers. Are.
Oh, and on April 17th, guys, I will be with Beth. I will be with Backlook Cinema and John DeGregorio from Movie Lovers Unite. We're going to be discussing The Breakfast Club. Also, go check out Rossi's Clubhouse. It's up now on all major podcasting platforms. Check out the channel. Check out the recent interview I did with Trevor Harris, he's a writer and director here in Sacramento. That interview just dropped today. And check out some of the other interviews I've done. Anyways, I appreciate your guys' time. Thank you for joining. Rossi Talks, Movie Lovers Unite, Multiverse of Geekdom. Trust, we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time, guys, because we're going to come back with more great topics, and we are